An effective helper. The true teacher will try by precept and example to win souls to Christ. He must receive the truth in the love of it and let it cleanse his heart and mold his life. Every teacher should be under the full control of the Holy Spirit. Then Christ can speak to the heart, and his voice is the voice of love. And the love of God, received into the heart, is an active power for good, quickening and enlarging the mind and soul. With his own heart warm with divine love, the teacher will lift up the man of Calvary, not to give the students a casual glimpse, but to fasten their attention until Jesus shall seem to them the chiefest among 10,000, and the one altogether lovely. The Holy Spirit is an effective helper in restoring the image of God in the human soul, but its efficiency and power have not been appreciated in our schools. It came into the schools of the prophets, bringing even the thoughts into harmony with the will of God. There was a living connection between heaven and these schools, and the joy and thanksgiving of loving hearts found expression in songs of praise in which angels joined. The Holy Spirit comes to the world as Christ's representative. It not only speaks the truth, but it is the truth, the faithful and true witness. It is the great searcher of hearts and is acquainted with the characters of all. The Holy Spirit has often come to our schools and has not been recognized, but has been treated as a stranger, perhaps even as an intruder. Every teacher should know and welcome this heavenly guest. If the teachers will open their own hearts to receive the Spirit, they will be prepared to cooperate with it in working for their students. And when it is given free course, it will effect wonderful transformations. It will work in each heart, correcting selfishness, molding and refining the character, and bringing even the thoughts into captivity to Christ. The great aim of the teacher should be the perfecting of Christian character in himself and in his students. Teachers, let your lamps be trimmed and burning, and they will not only be lights to your students, but will send out clear and distinct rays to the homes and neighborhoods where your students live, and far beyond into the moral darkness of the world. Written May 15, 1896. Our brethren say the plea comes from ministers and parents that there are scores of young people in our ranks who need the advantages of our training schools, but they cannot attend unless tuitions are lower. Those who plead for low tuition should carefully weigh matters on all sides. If students cannot of themselves command sufficient means to pay the actual expense of good and faithful work in their education, is it not better that their parents, their friends, or the churches to which they belong, or large-hearted, benevolent brethren in their conference, should assist them, than that a burden of debt should be brought upon the school? It would be far better to let the many patrons of the institution share the expense, than for the school to run in debt. The churches in different localities should feel that a solemn responsibility rests upon them to train youth and educate talent to engage in missionary work. When they see those in the church who give promise of making useful workers, but who are not able to support themselves in the school, they should assume the responsibility of sending them to one of our training schools. There is excellent ability in the churches that needs to be brought into service. There are persons who would do good service in the Lord's vineyard, but many are too poor to obtain without assistance the education that they require. The churches should feel it a privilege to take a part in defraying the expenses of such. Those who have the truth in their hearts are always open-hearted, helping where it is necessary. They lead out, and others imitate their example. If there are some who should have the benefit of the school, but who cannot pay full price for their tuition, let the churches show their liberality by helping them. Besides this, in each conference a fund should be raised to lend to worthy poor students who desire to give themselves to the missionary work. In some cases such students should even receive donations. When the Battle Creek College was first opened, there was a fund placed in the Review and Herald office for the benefit of those who wished to obtain an education, but had not the means. This was used by several students until they could get a good start, then from their earnings they would replace what they had drawn, so that others might be benefited by the fund. Some provision should now be made for the maintenance of such a fund to lend to poor but worthy students who desire to prepare themselves for missionary work. The youths should have it plainly set before them that they must work their own way as far as possible, and thus partly defray their expenses. That which costs little will be appreciated little, but that which costs a price somewhere near its real value will be estimated accordingly. A teacher's advantages may have been limited, so that he does not possess as high literary qualifications as he might desire, yet if he has true insight into human nature, if he has an appreciation of the magnitude of his work, and a genuine love for it, if he has a willingness to labor earnestly and humbly and perseveringly, he will comprehend the needs of his pupils, and by his sympathetic spirit will win their hearts and leads them onward and upward. His efforts will be so well directed that the school will become a living, growing power for good, full of the spirit of real advancement.